Beloved radio friends, we greet you once more in the precious name of our beloved and wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank God for the privilege of bringing before you the precious truth concerning the future purpose for the church. It is a wonderful privilege to realize God's Word declares what is the future of the church. And what we have already been seeing, the future purpose of God for the church, is distinctly of a heavenly character and not of the earth alone. Now may I repeat with emphasis, the subject is the future, not the present, but the future purpose of God for the church. We continue the subject by reading in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. We read the words of the beloved Apostle John as we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking and writing through him in verses 6 through 9. John declares, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses, or the righteous deeds of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. May God the Holy Spirit bless the reading of his precious word, and get to us the ministry of that word for the blessing of all who hear it. We have touched upon the precious truth that the future purpose of Christ in giving all that he had to purchase the church was that it should be for him, his matchless pearl, one pearl of great price, one denoting its unity, the pearl declaring its beauty, and of great price, expressing to us the costliness and the value of it. We've also noted how that Christ loved the church, how that he died for it, how that he cares for it, how that he will in a future day present it to himself, a glorious church. I beg of my fellow believer to realize the future glory of the church does not depend upon you nor me. It depends only upon the grace of him who in his matchless love gave himself to redeem it, to purchase it for himself, to care for it by himself, and ultimately to present it to himself, a glorious church. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, lift your eyes away. From what we see around us, I notice truth. It is a failing church. It is a disappointing church in relation to its outward testimony upon the earth. But let us rejoice that by grace divine, out of the wounded side of our beloved, once crucified Lord, grace upon grace is being poured upon the object of his affection, so that in its ultimate glory, it will be manifested as the pearl of great price to the universe around. We have read in the book of the Revelation what is the teaching of John concerning the future purpose for the church in relation to the beloved person of the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the consummation of the divine purpose as revealed by John. For what we have before us in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9, and particularly verses 7 through 9, is the fact that the bride will be seen as the worthy object of Christ's everlasting affection, an object upon which he will be able to unfold and display the eternal character of Islam. What joy to realize the truth of those words, and let me repeat them as we have read them. In verse 7, as the voice of a great multitude in heaven is heard, with mighty thunderings of hallelujahs, saying, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. My beloved, may I dwell very heavily upon those words that declare, the marriage of the Lamb is come. This is the crowning moment. This is not merely the crowning moment for the church, by no means. But what we have revealed is the crowning moment for the Savior. The crowning moment for the Lamb. For the scene that we have read of and see before us is viewed not from the side of the bride, not from the viewpoint of the bride. It is the marriage of the Lamb. Oh, my beloved, will you recognize the clear, distinctive statement? It is called the marriage of the Lamb. When we look at earthly weddings, I'm sure that we can certainly realize that in the weddings of earth, we have the presentation of the centrality of any earthly wedding in the very person of the bride. But contrary to the earthly custom, the marriage of the Lamb, in the glory of that wedding, the glory of it centers upon the Lamb, the bridegroom himself. Oh, may I say, I know there's very little given here in the description of the actual marriage here. We might even say the actual marriage service is really omitted. And why is it omitted from the scriptures that we have read? For all that we have found is the statement, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and her wife hath made herself ready. The description is not for the earth. My beloved, may I suggest, there will be no earthly eyes looking upon this marriage service in heaven above. It is obscured for men of the earth, but only heaven itself will be attending and beholding the wondrous wedding of Christ the bridegroom to his bride, the church. Yet shall we not indeed say, even the presentation of the bride is carefully obscured, though we shall see in a future study that someday the bride will be publicly displayed, and we shall see something of the glory of the bride that will be hers throughout all eternity. But as far as the actual marriage, the presentation of the bride is carefully obscured. But there is rejoicing in heaven above. It is heaven that rejoices in the marriage. It is heaven that declares, let us rejoice and be glad and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And thus heaven rejoices. May I point out to you in verse 9, the precious statement that John records, saying, he saith unto me, write, blessed and happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, my beloved, there will be happiness in this wedding, and in heaven above, all there will rejoice as they behold the marriage. May I ask my beloved radio friend very pertinently and very solemnly, will you be there? Oh, blessed, happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. May I indeed intersperse our message by giving out an invitation that certainly should be heralded, that God is inviting sinners. Yes, sinners of the worst kind, and may I remind my listeners, as we saw the opening parable in Matthew 13 concerning the purpose of God for the church, that it was a foreign substance that entered into the pearl, or rather entered into the shell of the oyster, perhaps a grain of sand, irritating that animal, wounding that animal. But from that animal, there was poured a secretion, and layer upon layer of this secretion from itself was poured upon that grain of foreign substance, and covered it, and covered it, and covered it, until at last the pearl was formed, the only gem, perhaps in human knowledge, that is formed from a living organism. And my beloved, we must see the parallel in the church, that out of the wounded side of the riven Savior on the cross, grace upon grace has been flowing from Calvary upon poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners, that they might be part of the great pearl which is the church, to be united in marriage to the Lord Jesus above when that wedding day comes. Oh, my beloved, happy are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. May I present to you the call of the gospel, calling you and calling me, those sinners of the mindless kind. His grace, through the precious blood of his cross, can make us whole and wipe away every stain of sin and form a pearl of beauty for his bride in that coming day. I would like to emphasize that in that coming day, the bride will be the pearl of greatest Christ, and all that thus comprise it will be sinners who have been taken up out of the sin of this world and the quarry of this world's sin, down in the very depths of its ocean of sin. My beloved, you can be one of the happy ones who can have a place and be part of that pearl when in the day of the marriage it is declared in heaven, the marriage of the bride is come. I ask you the question, will you be there? My beloved, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the blood of Christ can fit you and make you be to be a part of his bride. Come to him today, be cleansed in his blood for his name's sake. Father, bless, sanctify thy word to thine honor and glory. Amen.